welcome to the Pinstripe Alley podcast, where we're feeling pretty solid after the Yankees swept a doubleheader from the Chicago Cubs after an off day and a day of rain. And, yeah, here with me are Matthew Provenzano and Matt Ferencik. Hi, guys.
Hello. How's it going?
Hey.
Good. You enjoy the Tanaka Pineda show today?
Very much so.
Yeah. Tanaka wish time and
Pineda.
Wish I could have watched Pineda, but MLB blackout rules.
No, that is unfortunate.
I got Tanaka, and that was enough to hold me over for today.
You could watch Tanaka, but not Pineda.
Because that game was on YES, and the second game was on My9. But apparently, since I'm in New York, the Yankees blackout zone, I can't watch it on MLB Network. And it's not shown anywhere else here.
You couldn't get it on My9? Or do you not get My9?
Nope. No, I don't get My9 here.
I guess that makes sense.
There's a channel that will occasionally show them, but not tonight.
Did you watch both of them, Matt Provenzano?
I watched Pineda. I did not watch Tanaka Time. I had to watch the highlights. I was at work in class, so I was unable to watch Tanaka. But the highlights looked pretty darn good.
Yep. It was pretty dynamic today for the Yankees. Struck out 10, allowed 2 bunt singles, and walked 1. So, pretty good.
I just sat in class with my phone out and just followed the game day thing. Mm-hmm. And watched how many... I just watched slowly the strikeouts racking up.
Like, oh, there's another strikeout. Oh, there's another one. And he set a record for most strikeouts within the first 3 starts for the Yankees' career. I think he had 28.
Yes, and Al Leiter had 25.
Yeah, and Al Leiter's like, oh, man.
Or he's like, yay, I'm relevant.
So that was pretty great today from Tanaka. Obviously, he's looked sharp in pretty much every start. And so is Michael Pineda, whose ERA is down to 1 in 3 starts.
Pretty good.
Nice staff pitching.
Yeah, he didn't look quite as sharp as he did last time, but he was still, you know, obviously really good. Six shutout innings.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really nice. Like, I think they mentioned on the broadcast, which I actually agree with, was the fact that, like, the rotation has incredible depth. Just like every time someone's pitching, you're like, oh, except maybe when CeCe's pitching, but like generally speaking, you're like expecting 6 or 7 innings of like good pitching every time.
Yeah, it's a nice change of pace from last year when, I think I've said this before, but you had like first half Kuroda, second half Nova, then aside from maybe a few good Andy Pettit starts here and there, it was just a mess. Like, you know, Phil Hughes, David Huff.
I was going to say you're not confident. You weren't confident in Hughes.
I was not confident in Philip Hughes.
Huh.
I hear he's off to a booming start with the Twins.
Ooh. I mean, other than the home runs, he was great.
Boom is the operative word.
He has a 7.2 ERA for him.
And he's going to be very rich. He's probably thinking, you know, I have to do better. Like, I need to let him more home runs.
He's only allowed 2 so far.
I need to outdo myself.
He's still got a good $24 million contract from the Twins, so, you know, whatever. Time to get paid. But it's such a refreshing change of course, as you mentioned, that we've come to expect reliable starts pretty much every time through. And Kuroda's started the season off well. CeCe has been up and down, and Nova needs to straighten himself out, but he was good enough in the second half to have confidence that he'll rebound. So it's looking good at the moment. Obviously, that could change any day, but Tanaka seems to be legitimate.
Yeah. Here's the interesting thing. I find it interesting that, like, by name, CeCe's still called the ace of the staff, but, like, clearly he's probably the weakest pitcher on the whole staff, which is pretty funny. But that would be interesting. Like, let's say the Yankees get in the playoffs. Like, who do you – I guess 2 questions. Who do you think Joe Girardi would put – as the 3 pitchers in the playoffs in order, and who would you want to be 3 starters in a row?
Well, I mean, there would be 4 starters in the playoffs, I think.
It depends on the series. Like in the 5-game series, it'd probably only be 3. The Yankees have done 3.
No, there would be 4.
In 2009, they just did Sabathia, Burnett, Pettis.
Right, but they were able to get away with a whole bunch more off days in the postseason then, and there aren't as many.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Okay. So then four. So then try four. Who do you think Girardi would pick, and who would you? Who should they pick?
Well, obviously, with the caveat, this is incredibly premature. But
obviously, yeah. Just out of curiosity.
I mean, in terms of realism, by then Pineda will probably be shut down. So theoretically,
that's true.
Yeah.
But if I'm just ordering pitchers right now in terms of who I'm most comfortable with, it would be like Tanaka, Kuroda, Pineda, Nova, maybe CC. I don't know.
Yeah,
Nova and CC is kind of a toss up because again, Nova is still yet to throw like a full season of legitimately good baseball. He's just had a good half season. So maybe I would take CC over him, but I don't know. But I know Girardi would include CC because CC is CC.
Yeah, unless it goes really south.
Yeah, CC would.
Unless
have
it goes
to,
really
like,
south, CC's gonna be there.
CC would have to like fall apart like Barry Zito did to like fall out of the rotation. Barry Zito even ended up starting games for the Giants in the 2012 playoffs. So, and you know he was even good then. So
yeah.
Who even knows?
Yeah, I don't know if CC looks like he's adjusting.
Yeah,
you know, like he looked. Because the thing is, like, he looked better in his last start. He made that, you know, one big mistake, obviously, which is usually the case. But he looked like he was more in control.
Yeah, I think he'll get a little bit better. I think last year was maybe the bad adjustment period where he seemed to be, like, legitimately confused about what to do. And maybe because he expected the velocity to come and it just never did. And maybe he went into the off season and spring training this year realizing, okay, well, I have to prepare as though I'm not going to get this velocity back. So maybe try a few different things. So I'm not willing to completely give up on him as a legitimate starter yet. I am more confident in other pitchers than him right now, but I do think that he'll be able to turn around a little bit.
In all three starts, he's shown flashes of being able to pitch okay. Like, even in that Astros one, at the end, he retired, like, 9 in a row or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he made some adjustment after the second. I don't know what exactly it was. Maybe some mechanical adjustment, but after the second inning, it was, like, lights out. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's an interesting one. Because not too long ago, in the 2012 playoffs, he was like...
Oh, God, yeah. I was at that start when he threw the complete game to finish off the Orioles, and they weren't touching him.
That was probably the best game he pitched.
Yeah.
As a Yankee, and that was like I really thought that he would continue. You know, it's very surprising he came from that point because it's not that long ago.
Yeah, it's weird
know?
Now. Like that's like his last great game pitched as a Yankee. Maybe
yeah,
there are like a few. There was like a handful of starts last year when he was pretty good, but you know, for the overwhelming part of it, it was disappointing. So he's got to find a way to right himself, send a contract for a few more years. So
yeah,
hooray!
But you know, pitching staff looked pretty good, and the bullpen seems to be adjusting decently without Dave Robertson. A bad game in there, but other than that, he's gotten some saves, and strikeouts are up. And Warren, other than last night, seems to be a pretty legitimate bullpen option as well.
Yeah, it's all. I'm not really surprised at Kelly. It's just putting them in like more high leverage situations, they've obviously responded a little bit different. Like Warren got into a little bit of trouble against the Cubs, but still was able. I guess it's just not Mariano, so you have to just kind of get used to getting into trouble.
Right.
But I also found it interesting that they haven't really used Dylan Betances at all.
Yeah.
Since Robertson's been out,
it's been kind of mysterious, but. Dylan did pitch in the Boston series in one game. I mean, or he pitched two games, but one of the games was just Brian McCann throwing someone out stealing, I think. And that was it.
He threw three pitches.
Yeah.
Good outing, Dylan. It's all you.
So I wonder if it's something that they didn't like, you know, they saw some mistakes that he was, or maybe it's, you know, I know Girardi likes to take relievers who are more inexperienced and like slowly ramp up their leverage.
Right.
And put them into higher, like kind of like what they did to David. Because like David Phelps, when he was in the bullpen previously, it would be like almost in a mop-up role.
Adam Warren, too.
But Adam Warren as well last year, but like now it's more and more becoming like you're going to get put into the fire now, because like they trust him more. So maybe that's what's going to happen. They're going to wait for some blowout and then put him in to see what he does, and then maybe he'll trust him. I don't know, but I'd like them to get a blowout first so that they can put him in.
It's a process, but I think, I mean, Joe Girardi is more willing to trust young relievers than Joe Torre, so.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yep.
And you know, he's come around on Warren pretty quickly. Came around on Preston Claiborne when Claiborne was still relevant last year. So I think Dylan will eventually get his innings. It might just, I think it's again, like, you know, I guess trying to find good opportunities for him to pitch without it being like a win or lose situation. I think there's a chance we'll probably see him in this coming Rays series.
Probably.
Yeah, I would hope so. But he's doing a good job of really diversifying the bullpen usage, because you're seeing a lot of different arms in there. See Cabral and Thornton, Warren, Phelps, Kelly. It's like a whole, you know, mix of relievers, and no one really is in there for that long.
Right.
Maybe 20 pitches.
It seems like they'll probably use Vidal Nuno for that Sunday start due to the, because, you know, with the rainout yesterday, or not yesterday, with the rainout on Tuesday, they had to push Tanaka's start to Wednesday, so that created an opening for Sunday. So it looks like, I guess they might use Vidal Nuno in that spot, since they seem to be using Phelps and Warren more in, like, 7th and 8th inning roles, which makes some sense.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
If I were to guess, I mean, if I were to guess who'd start Sunday, it'll probably be Nuno.
I wouldn't be surprised. Probably. Just a nice spot start.
Too bad Shane Green couldn't get any innings in his, second game.
Yeah.
But it wasn't enough.
Man.
Wasn't enough of a blowout.
He wants his money back.
I would not have wanted to see Shane Green in a. The final score was 2-0, right? Or am I going crazy?
Yeah.
I would not have wanted to see Shane Green in a 2-run game. Not for his first appearance. But it was weird. He was with the team. He was with the team for like a week. Didn't pitch. Came up as the 26th man. Didn't pitch. Maybe one day he'll pitch, or maybe he'll just have on his record, I was a phantom reliever in the big leagues.
Yeah, man, it's lucky that the Yankees AAA team is pretty close. Like, he just kind of could take a car or a bus from Scranton. He doesn't have to worry. Like, I feel like it's really annoying if, like let's say you're in the Mets and you're, like, in AAA Reno.
Vegas,
and you gotta, like, you got, Vegas, you gotta, like, fly across the country. You sit there for a week, do nothing, and then you gotta fly back.
I wonder if the Mets ever had to do, like, you know, this quick doubleheader thing. They might just have to call someone up from, like, their AA team. Is that Binghamton?
Yeah, that's Binghamton. Yeah. That's pretty far away. It'd probably be quicker to fly from Las Vegas than it is to drive from Binghamton.
Maybe, but I think I saw Donnie Collins or Josh Norris or one of those minor league guys tweet that in all this hurtling back and forth, Shane Green has yet to pitch an inning this year. In the majors or minors. Kind of a quirk.
Huh.
You know, they seem to be managing, and hopefully they'll... It seems like everything's online for David Robertson to return on time. I think he'll probably come back... What did they say, the 22nd?
Yeah, I think that's it.
You
know. He seems like he's on pace, and Mark Teixeira seems like he's on pace to come back, I believe, on Sunday.
Right. Yeah, I'm looking on Twitter, and it says that Robertson is on track to come back when he's first eligible on April 22nd. And Teixeira is starting a rehab assignment today. The Yankees hope to get him back on Monday for their series against...
Yeah, Red Sox at Fenway.
Yep.
So that's a pretty big series. So I would assume that Teixeira will go to first... Solarte would go to second, and Johnson would go to third.
Yeah, I should clarify. Their series with the Red Sox would begin on Tuesday. They're off next Monday as well.
Yeah.
But, that sounds about right for Teixeira to come back. Assuming, you know, big assumption, friggin' injury bug. But assuming there are no more injuries, then looks like Teixeira would come back, as you said, take first. And I guess maybe DeNano would go down, or maybe... Scott Sizemore? I don't think they'd send Scott Sizemore down so quickly.
Well, it depends. I think Sizemore has one more option.
Well, Dean Anna's first time in the major league, so I'm sure he has options, I would think.
Yeah, he does. But I think Sizemore has one option left.
Well, I think he could still opt out. I wonder if he could still opt out, because he's been called up to the major leagues, but if they send him back down, would he still be able to opt out?
It depends on how many options he has left.
He has another opt out, like, before July, I want to say.
Yeah, I feel like they'll send him down. I feel like the end, they're not going to send down, I don't think. Sizemore is, like, the last on the depth chart.
Maybe. Keenan hasn't been especially impressive, though. I mean, he had the home run. He's had a couple nice plays.
Yeah, the home
but
run.
Other than that, he's...
That, yeah, that one play in the first game with Tanaka pitching was pretty nice.
Yeah, but he's, like, 3-for-20 or something like that, so...
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he's a utility player.
Right, but Scott Sizemore kind of plays the same positions. Yep. I guess Scott Sizemore doesn't play shortstop, so maybe you're right. Because I don't think Solarte plays shortstop, so... Yeah, I think you're right now that I think about it. Seems like Dean Anna is their only backup shortstop option to Jeter with Brendan Ryan on the DL, so...
It's true, yeah. Oh, and Solarte can play short.
Can he?
Yeah, he can.
So, okay, so maybe they could get away with sending Dean Anna down if they wanted to keep Sizemore. But they seem more comfortable using Dean Anna at shortstop than Solarte.
Yeah, definitely. He obviously has a little more range at short than Solarte. Solarte is just can't really move laterally.
Right. And as Matt F. mentioned, he made a really nice play on that pick off the deflection from Tanaka in the afternoon game. And he also had that, crazy play in spring training where he dove and threw from a long way to get the guy out.
Yeah, he made a couple nice spring training plays in the field.
And meanwhile, Eduardo Nunez fell over himself. Well, anyway, getting back to the injuries, I guess D-Rob will probably come back in time for that Boston series as well. So it'll probably be Teixeira and Robertson up and either Anna or Sizemore and Cesar Cabral down.
Yeah.
Seems like Cabral is probably the least useful here, being that he's a third lefty.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So that clears that up. It'll be good to have Teixeira back in the lineup. I've been okay with Kelly Johnson at first base. He's not a first baseman. It's been apparent. He can fake it there for a little bit, but he really shouldn't be a starting first baseman. So we'll just move him back to that other position that he hasn't really played as much, but still played more than first base. Okay, so Kelly Johnson, we'll move over to third base, and we'll finally have to share his glove back at first, even though his bat is maddeningly inconsistent, and he'll pop up with runners in scoring position all the time. He still does have significant power, and I trust him more than Yandier Solarte, let's be real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As much as I'm liking him right now, I'm just, like, waiting for the, you know, for him to fall off the cliff.
Yeah. And, I mean, again, it's like I'm enjoying it now, but it's just, I have a bad feeling. Though maybe he'll stick in the starting lineup if Brian Roberts is as hurt as he seems to be, because he's been out with a back injury.
And it
seems very clear about what they think of that. Like Jason wrote about it.
Injury-riddled infielder with bat problems. Where have I heard that before?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was just last year. Because, like, in 2013 in April, we heard that same story. Kevin Youkilis, he's sitting on the bench. He's working his way back from this back injury. We don't think it's that big of a deal. Plays one game. Oh, crap. We have to put him on the DL. Well, thanks for letting him sit on the roster for, like, a week doing nothing. Oh, yeah, maybe that's the X factor. If, Roberts is still hurt when Teixeira is ready to come back, maybe they just DL him, so they swap places.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, Roberts, we know you're going to spend some time on the DL, so just get it up now.
Well, Kevin Youkilis has played 14 games so far for the Rakuten Golden Eagles. He is batting .224, .367 slugging percentage, and a .345 on-base percentage, and he has one home run in 58 plate appearances. So, good for him on being a kind of mediocre player so far in Japan.
Yeah, there you go.
And he's playing with Andrew Jones, too, who's still alive.
This is unrelated to anything, but Mike Petriello earlier tweeted, well, this is my favorite thing of the day. Unieski Betancourt has 49 plate appearances for Oryx in Japan. He's hitting 106, 106, 106.
Oh, uni.
Anyway, I got lost in Uni Bancourt's triple slash. Where were we? So, yeah, if Brian Roberts, this back injury is worse than it seems, and as Jason wrote earlier, Cashman said that they don't really seem to know exactly how much rest he'll need. They're just kind of playing it day to day. So, I guess until further notice, it'll be Solarte at second. Maybe Roberts will return, or maybe he'll go in the DL after sitting out for a week, in which case it'd be kind of annoying, but... Ugh.
Yeah.
And it's not like Roberts is playing especially well anyway. I mean, he's been a tough at bat. He's seen a ton of pitches, but yeah. He's still, like... that's about it.
Yeah, that's about all he's
doing.
I think
his OPS is under 500.
Yeah, yeah, it's like he would see, like, six pitches in a bat and then pop out.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like, thanks for your minimal contribution, sir.
It's like, really all he did was minimize a pitcher's outing by an inning.
Right.
I don't really know what that... I don't know what type of value that has. I really don't know how to quantify that.
Yeah. And Jeter missed a couple games with that quad injury that he's, you know, downplaying, but, you know, he's 40, so...
Especially worrying after last year.
So Joe Girardi's right to keep him out of the lineup and play careful with him. But it seems like he had a bit of an awkward run in one of those at-bats in the second game of the doubleheader, but seemed okay. What did you think?
Yeah, he did. I don't really see any concerns with him. And I think that Joe Girardi doesn't feel like as obligated to put him in the game because he has like Sizemore and Anna and Solarte, who are, you know, pretty decent backup shortstops, you know, or backup infielders. And the other thing is that it's not like last year where your best hitter was Lyle Overbay. You also have Ellsbury and Gardner and, you know, and Soriano and Beltran to, like, hit. And the rotation's better, so it's like, you know, even if the game's kind of close, it's like Jeter's not going to make or break it.
Right.
Well, like, last year it was kind of like Jeter would be our best hitter in the game if he was playing.
So, seems like they'll be good.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Speaking of players who are doing a lot, Carlos Beltran, the AL Player of the Week, for going bananas, basically. Added
yes, and then next week, it will be hashtag blame Beltran. I ran into a friend of mine who's a Mets fan, and we were talking about how Carlos Beltran, this is like a few months ago, but how Carlos Beltran was going to be Yankee. And I was just talking about, oh, yeah, like, how great of a career he had with the Mets. Like, he was the height of his career. You know, he's probably, you know, I don't know how he'll go down as a Hall of Famer, like, with which uniform. But, like, you could definitely argue, like, as a Met, he had his best years.
Right.
And he was at the peak. And he just responded by saying, yeah, but the strikeout in the NLCS.
Of course he did.
Come on.
He is not clutch, except for all those playoff homers.
Except for his life.
Yeah, I mean, the reason they brought him into this lineup, he's not good at the glove anymore, but he's still pretty proficient with the bat, and he's switch-hitting threat, can homer from both sides of the plate, and adding that to the middle of the lineup gives the Yankees a legitimate power threat, and one that's not really neutralized by platoon splits, I don't think, like McCann is. So, I imagine... Yeah. I predicted a 30-homer season. It was kind of a bold prediction in the preseason post, but, hey, it could happen.
I think it definitely could.
I mean, certainly gone off to a pretty good start now. It's already, like, what, four? That's four already?
Four home runs in 15 games.
Lame Beltran.
So that's, like, a 40-home-run pace or something?
Yeah. I mean, he's not going to play. He's not going to play every year.
Yeah. No, that's not going to happen, but...
I wish it would happen.
That's the only thing that would really hold him from hitting 30 home runs, is that he's not going to play every day.
Yeah, but he'll probably play at least 140 games, assuming he stays as healthy as he has the past couple of years with the Cardinals. Should be good.
Yeah.
Knocking on wood. Good call.
Yeah, because if I didn't do that, he would know.
McCann has shown signs of life lately, too, so that's good.
And his pitch framing is great, mm-hmm. So I'll take it.
He had a pretty great series against the Red Sox.
That one game, you two home runs the one, and next day he just missed one by like 2 feet.
Yep. Oh, we should probably talk about the Cervelli injury. That was pretty bad. Oh yeah.
I'll do a fun hour on Sunday.
We had a fun couple weeks there, Francisco Cervelli. But back to the DL with you.
Yeah, we've had enough of you.
So
we can never have a full season of you.
Nope. Well, they did when he was a backup catcher for Russell Martin, but that was about it.
That's true.
But he's back to the DL, had the hamstring problem. 60-day DL, playing it safe with them, can't blame them.
And then he'll get suspended again.
Ooh.
And this season will be over.
Oh.
Hopefully not. Yeah. Well,
the only problem with it was that he was also serving as a backup first baseman. That won't be a problem, hopefully, when Teixeira comes back.
Yeah, and there was a little bit of debate. I heard a post about whether they would call up Scott Sizemore or maybe Russ Kanzler, since Kanzler is actually a first baseman. But they decided to go with Sizemore, and I can't blame them too much for it, because Sizemore is potential.
Yeah, not at all.
Legitimate big league season in 2011 with the A's and Tigers. So, and he had the opt-out in his contract, too, at the end of April. So, I don't mind them giving him a shot, and apparently they would be okay with using Sizemore or Solarte or maybe even Anna as a backup first baseman if an emergency really calls for it. So, if they feel comfortable with them, then they could probably fake it until Teixeira comes back on Tuesday, provided that his rehab assignment goes well, knock on wood again.
Yep.
In the meantime, we have oil tycoon John Ryan Murphy backing up McCann, which I'm a fan of. Both the nickname and John Ryan Murphy backing up McCann, because Murphy is a legitimate catching prospect. He showed he pretty much had handled the minors last year, so this is a good little challenge for him. And I trust him as a backup more than Austin Romine.
Going back to the Pecota projections for prospects, rated John Ryan Murphy as having the 18th most upside of any prospect in baseball of
rookies. Yeah.
So, there's that.
What I think is funny is that Romine has been always hailed as like this defensive specialist, but I think in recent years, at least in 2013, Murphy was a better defensive catcher than Romine was.
Yeah, I think that mantle's now been... I think Murphy is now considered the, the one with the defensive prowess. Because, like, he's not going to hit that well, ever. Yeah. Like, he'll at the height of his... If he, like, hits his ceiling, the height of his career, he'll have, like, an OPS plus of maybe, like, 100, 110. But he's, like, a guy who's going to project to be, like, a 90 OPS plus guy with, like, great defense. And I don't know, it also depends on how good his pitch framing is. That's another big factor.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing the Yankees, they like guys who can receive well. And if he does, he could be pretty darn valuable.
Yeah.
Because, most projections have him as being about a 2-win player over a full season. But if he's like a Chris Stewart type pitch framer or a Brian McCann type pitch framer, he's worth more like 4 wins.
Mm-hmm. And if he has, like, some semblance of offense, unlike Chris Stewart.
Yeah, well, he already has more of a semblance of offense than Chris Stewart.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the minor, like, you know, he projects to be much better than, like, an OPS plus of 50. So, I personally think that they're going to trade him.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, they have no use, like, he's going to be languishing in the height of his career while Brian McCann is the catcher.
Yep.
There's really no reason to have him as the primary catcher or as the backup catcher. He should be someone else's primary catcher.
Well, I guess maybe they're kind of hoping that if he impresses in a backup role here, maybe they can flip him or they can use him as a trade chip. They've already offered him already in kind of a similar trade. Maybe they're hoping that it can build value if he shows that he can hit a little bit at the major league level.
Yeah. I mean, the Yankees are probably hoping they can get either a decent prospect for him, or they can get some middle infielder of some type. I don't know who.
God, if they could please get some kind of middle infielder.
I don't know who they'd get. It just depends on how. It really depends on how much a team needs a catcher.
Brewers don't really need Gene Segura, do they? Get it done, Cash. You don't. Brewers don't really need. Who's their really good catcher?
LaCroix,
yeah. But just convince them that they need John Ryan Murphy and that they don't need Gene Segura.
Murphy, Hughes, and Nunez got it done.
Exactly. So, should we just move on to the 1890s British nobleman or baseball player game?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, we can do that.
All right.
You bring up my list. Okay, we'll start with Andrew and Charles Shaughnessy.
I'll go with baseball player.
No, he is a British nobleman.
Really?
He is the fifth Baron Shaughnessy. However, you may know him better as one of the stars of The Nanny.
Well, of course. How could I have confused him?
Maxwell Sheffield.
I saw his name on the list. I was like, oh, that's a good one. And I clicked on his name. I was like, oh, I know who that is. Okay, Matt. We'll go with John Astor.
Sounds like a baseball player.
No, he is also a nobleman. He's the third Baron Astor of Hever.
Hmm.
What show was he in?
I wonder if it's the same Astor family that, like, bought all of New York in, like, the late 1700s.
That'll be on our next podcast.
It actually looks like it might be.
Oh, yeah, because that's where, like,
this Wikipedia of the Astor family.
Yeah, that's where, like, Astoria comes from.
Yeah.
Yep, it is.
Of course.
Right.
Everyone's related.
Okay, next one for Andrew. Ed Cogswell.
Ed Cogswell. Oh, I guess we got to keep going, baseball player.
Yeah, okay. He is a baseball player. He is actually British.
Oh.
He was born in the UK.
Plot twist.
He played for the Boston Red Stockings, the Troy Trojans, and the Worcester Ruby Legs.
The Worcester Ruby Legs is a tremendous team name.
Yeah. Okay. Matt, we'll go with Harry Stovey.
Harry Stovey. I'm going to say a British nobleman.
No, he is a baseball player. Also played for the Worcester Ruby Legs.
Okay, I've forgotten.
Everyone remembers that classic 1887 Worcester team or whatever.
He also played for the 1892 Boston Bean Eaters. Another tremendous name.
I think that might be the same franchise as the Boston Braves.
Yeah, I think so. That's...
Who are, of course, now the Atlanta Braves.
It is, yeah. It's
okay.
The other Braves. Yep. Okay, Andrew. Rufus Keppel.
Rufus Keppel. We'll go with Nobleman.
Yeah, he is the 10th Earl of Albemarle or something. I don't know. But he is in succession for the office of Lord Great Chamberlain. Whatever that means, I assume that means he has to deal with Jabba in some way.
Summon him.
And then he just gets summoned in and he just gets, like, shushed.
Don't shush me.
Okay, and the last one for Matt is George Rooks.
Sounds like a baseball player.
Yeah, he is. He played just 1 year in 1891, 5 games for the Boston Bean Eaters.
A sad career.
No more than Shane Green has pitched.
Yep.
Don't worry, Greeny. We'll get in there eventually. You'll always have that mentioned in the Girardi nickname piece by Dan Barbarizzi.
He'll just constantly, he'll live in like this baseball purgatory where he just takes this bus from Scranton to the Bronx and just keeps going back and forth.
Mr. Rhodes got to play for a minor league team named the Saginaw Alerts, though, and the Lincoln Tree Planters.
I hope they were, like, actually people who burned down forests. We have some tweet bag questions. Nothing yeah. on the actual Twitter, but there's some questions in the post. There's from a longtime listener. Who is most likely to be in the Yankees starting rotation in 2015? Max Scherzer, John Lester, David Phelps, or Manny Banuelos?
I'm going to choose none of the above.
You think, so you'd take the field over any of the four?
Maybe Phelps. If any of them felt. Ben Wallace is still coming off of major surgery. You know, that takes a while. And I do not think the Yankees are going to commit money to Scherzer and or Lester when they just doled out like $500 million last year. I just don't see that happening. So it's either going to be Phelps or bust with those people. And Ben Wallace will try to make his way back, but he may be a late call-up, if anything.
Yeah, at 2 weeks ago, Phelps was the obvious answer, but yeah, I don't know. I might be tempted to go with Ben Wallace, but I think I'd take the field too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the difference between last year's free agent class and this one is that the Yankees don't have like a ton of contracts coming off their books. I mean, I guess they won't have to pay Jeter the 11 or 12 million that they're paying him, and Soriano's 5 million or whatever they're paying him. That's prorated.
And Kuroda's 16.
And Kuroda's 16. Okay, so that sounds like, and Ichiro's contract also ends. That's 6.5 million.
Well, but then A-Rod comes back on the books.
Right. So A-Rod comes back, and they're gonna.
And it basically cancels everything out.
Yeah. Yeah, and who knows? Maybe Kuroda will want to come back again. So, but I agree.
He said they interviewed him. They interviewed him recently. He said he wanted to go back to Japan.
Well, he said that for a couple of years, I think. I'll believe it when I see it from Kuroda, anyway. But I agree that I don't think the Yankees are going to be able to. I mean, I don't know. I shouldn't say they wouldn't be able to, because the Yankees have the financial wherewithal to stand a lot. But I don't see them making a run at Scherzer or Lester. Maybe Lester, because he's a lefty. But I don't think Lester will leave Boston. So I would probably say Phelps.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if they become free agents, they'll probably leave. He'll probably leave Boston. Just because if you look at the free agent class last year, I think only one player, like, who became a free agent, like, went back to their original team. Like, most of them don't go back to their original team.
Right.
Because if the original team was willing to pay them, they would have just offered them a proper extension.
Lester is really good, though, so I think the Red Sox would be really foolish to not re-sign him. And he's left-handed, and he just turned 30.
Yeah, it depends. It's just because they also have, like, a million prospects coming up.
But pitching prospects, though? I don't know.
Yeah, they also have Webster, they have Workman.
Mm-hmm.
They also have Robbie De La Rosa. I mean,
but you need someone to like build around too.
Yeah. I just don't know how much they're like if they're willing to dole out this huge contract to him and like have so like they did like you know kind of like what they did with Beckett.
Yeah. I think Beckett was a little bit older when they gave him that contract though, but I don't know. That's not my concern. I think. To answer a longtime listener's question, I think Phelps is the most likely of the four to be in the rotation. I think there's a shot for Manban, depending on how he pitches in 2014, but maybe not immediately.
Yeah, the more I think about it, it's probably Phelps.
Yeah.
I would pick Phelps over the field, I think. But either way. Next question, from self-titled 85. If the Yankees lose, is there any chance you all will do the podcast drunk? Well, they did not lose, so haha.
You'll never know.
Yep. And from Greg, between the three of you, which one enjoys watching Tanaka's splitter the most? Ties are not an acceptable answer.
Well, I do not like it the most because Mitch Williams said that it's not a splitter, so I don't love it.
You're right.
So, yeah, we can't talk about things that are mythical.
Yeah. What are you talking about, Greg? There's no splitter. It's. Why don't we talk about Pineda's knuckleball while we're at it? Am I right?
Yeah.
How is he employed? God. How does MLB Network actively pay Mitch Williams for his sap?
He doesn't know what the plural of foot is.
English is hard.
Well, he also, the Herd on MLB Night Twitter account, I posted that tweet in the game thread, But another option I could have gone with is where he said that Sonny Gray could literally shave with a credit card. Which, I mean, I'd like to see that.
In all seriousness, though, do you think Dante Bichette's junior reinvention at the plate is a mirage or legit?
It's definitely a mirage.
Probably, yeah.
I mean, there was that report that he changed his swing a little bit or whatever. I mean, that can't hurt, but I don't think it's not certainly suddenly turn him back into a top prospect.
Yeah, I think anytime we hear a story of like, oh, this person tweaked his swing a little bit, so now he's great, it's probably kind of overblown. I think I need to see at least a couple months of production from DBJ before I have any kind of remote hope in him being able to be a legitimate prospect.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't want more than just a couple of months. Like, he's been below average for like 2 years.
Yeah, maybe like I'm just talking about like any hope though. Like maybe if he was good for a full half, then I'd be like, maybe.
It's just like if you're struggling for like 2 years in the low minors, like I don't have much hope
for
you.
In Charleston.
Yeah.
Where Greg Bird destroyed everything.
Yeah, Mike Ford is destroying everything right now, and he was in college last year. Yeah, it's just I don't see him reclaiming his former glory.
Right, so we're pretty much consensus mirage here. And other question, do you think the problems with Steven Drew and Kendra Morales in regards to the qualifying offer system will lead to an overhaul in time?
I just think teams aren't going to offer it as much. Because now with this offseason, I think if Steven Drew could go back in time, he would have taken that.
Yeah, and Kendra Morales probably would have taken that 3-year $30 million extension from the Mariners that he turned down.
Yeah, so I just think that it's going to be more like players are just not going to reject the offer anymore unless they're sure, absolutely sure they're going to get a contract.
Right.
So I don't know if it's going to lead to an overhaul of the system, because it's not like, I think it's just more like it has to be like a market correction.
Right. They might do some tweaks to the system, like when they changed like the free agent types from evaluating them in like Class A, Class B or whatever. Maybe they'll do some tweaks like that, but I don't think there's going to be anything regarding draft picks that changes.
Yeah, and I think that the other thing they're going to have to change or address is the fact that teams that are willing to spend money on more than one free agent have an advantage when it comes to signing players with a pick attached. Because once you sign the first player and you give up your first-round pick, each successive pick you then sign, like you give away for a free agent, is less and less valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, when the Yankees, they gave away their first-round pick, but then they're like, okay, we'll just keep going back, because it's like, we already gave away our first-round pick, so we might as well just keep going. There has to be, I don't know how they're going to work, I don't know how they would, I don't really believe they should keep giving away picks in the future, but, like, they have to address something where, like, a team that has the money to just spend away would think twice, because then, you know, there's more of a disincentive instead of just like, well, we gave away our first round pick, so let's just keep signing players. Because it wouldn't make sense for the Yankees to sign a big free agent every year, because then they would have to give away a first round pick every year. Mm-hmm. So it gives them an incentive to like just sign everybody 1 year.
Yeah.
Yep. Analysis. But yeah, I agree. And last question, who will be our starting third baseman on August 1st? Please don't say Solarte. I mean, it'll probably be Kelly Johnson, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He might have just forgotten that Teixeira's probably going to be back and healthy. I mean, the question would only be there if Teixeira got hurt again, or still hurt. Otherwise, it'll probably just be Kelly Johnson.
If it is Solarte, it means everyone's hurt again, or he's still hitting, and that's not a bad thing. Everyone being hurt would be, but the other option is...
Yeah.
Maybe he's suggesting there could possibly be a trade, but I don't think that would happen. I don't know. And to me, for me, it's way too soon to be speculating about trades anyway, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the tweet bag. And we can move on to the Yankee and the Mitre of the week. Alright, Matt P., you're the Yankee of the week.
My Yankee of the week is Carlos Beltran.
Pretty easy.
Yeah. Because dingers.
Yes. He lives. Beltran force. Pretty easy. Matt F., you're Yankee of the week.
And it's just as easy, Masahiro Tanaka.
Yes. I think this will probably be a very easy week for us. But tell me more about Tanaka.
He's good at the baseball.
Yes, he is.
he's very good at getting people to swing and miss at pitches.
And that splitter or whatever it is that Mitch.
It's not a splitter.
Whatever it is. I don't know what you're talking about, Andrew. Thinks it is.
It's not a splitter.
It's a fork ball. And my Yankee of the week is Michael Pineda. Not a surprise either. He dominated the Red Sox last time, dominated the Cubs today. ERA of 1. Yep. Pretty easy Yankee of the week there. I hope he can keep it up. Looked incredible in his first few starts following major shoulder surgery. Right?
Can't be a bad thing that it was that easy for us to find 3 good players.
Nope. Very good, and I think there's a decent case for some other players, too, because Ellsbury has been quietly great, too. Yep.
Quiet, more quiet than last week, but he's still been pretty good.
Right. Okay, and Mitre of the week, Matt P.
I'm going to go with Brian Roberts.
R.I.P. His back is broken.
For not hitting anything and not having a back. He's spineless.
No spine, Brian Roberts. All right, Matt F., your Mitre of the week.
Roberts off the board. There's really no one. Francisco Cervelli's hamstring for dying. not Cervelli, just his hamstring.
Yeah. Couldn't, at least he was able to survive to beat out that very close play that Farrell got ejected for arguing play on. He lived to beat that play out, and I think that was the decisive run. So good for him, but
it was. Yeah.
It will cost him a couple months. Now my Mitre of the week. Again, this is a good thing that like it's kind of tough for me to pick one because they haven't lost many games either. There was one game. They lost to the Red Sox.
There's 2 in my mind that I'll go with that you could go with, but I'll wait for you.
Yeah, the last time we recorded was on April 4th, looks like. No, is that right? Mm-hmm. No, April 10th.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, so April 10th. Okay, so I can't go with Nova then, really, because he hasn't really pitched. And he pitched decently against the Red Sox on Sunday night. I don't know. It feels kind of cold giving it to Sabathia because it wasn't that bad. But
that was one of the ones I was thinking of, but the second, that was like the lesser one.
So the lesser one, there's like another guy?
I think there is one who you could say was slightly worse that I'm thinking of, that I'm looking at how they did. And even that's kind of a stretch because he had won your game. Since we last recorded.
Yeah. Screw it. We're going to have to give it to CC. He wasn't that bad against the Red Sox, but he got kind of unnerved by that David Ortiz, like, single through the shift.
Yeah.
And then he kind of fell apart in a lot of 3-run home run to the corpse of Brady Sias War. So, okay, and I'm feeling more legitimate in giving a Mitre of the Week to CC Sabathia for that. Because he's a veteran pitcher. He can't get rattled by that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People were on Twitter were saying the same thing, and it's true. I mean, CC Sabathia, get over it.
Yep.
So, yep. Who are you going to say? Were you going to say Brian McCann, maybe?
No, I was thinking Phelps.
Yeah, that's true. Phelps.
Because he was kind of heart-inducing tonight. Oh. Or heart attack-inducing.
Yeah, heart. He was definitely... He definitely had his moments, but... He was terrific in the one game. What was it, Saturday? Or no, it was last Thursday. He went
Sunday.
And when he went...
Sunday he was... Not he didn't allow any runs, but he was not great that day either.
Yeah, I think it was last Thursday when he went like three innings or something.
Yeah, that was a really good effort. So even there, it's kind of unfair.
And he survived despite being rocked today.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, CC Sabathia will be my main trade of the week.
Yeah. That's
all right. So I think that'll do it for the Pinstripe Ballet podcast. Unless you guys have anything else.
No, I'm good.
I have a baseball reference page open for someone named Harry Dooms. I have no idea why.
I don't think you need a reason.
I don't remember why I opened it, but it's still open.
All right. So, yep. That's the Pinstripe Ballet podcast for this week. You can like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Alley and at Yankees Gifts. And post in the tweet bag any questions you might have for the podcast recording next week. And you can tweet at us for your tweet bag questions as well. Rate and review us on iTunes. It's always appreciated. And I think that's about it. So from the mats and from the altar of Masahiro Tanaka, thank you for listening. Have a great week.